are now listening to the Fantasy Filler Podcast, where we put you in the driver's seat every week, all year long. In the NASCAR racing world, from top news stories, latest results, and best fantasy lineups, we'll have you up to speed and out in front before the drop of the green flag. So let's dive in with our host, Vanilla Wafers.
We are now in the month of June, which means NASCAR has now entered the summer stretch. We just got done with the Coca-Cola 600, and now we make the return back to the Midwest at Worldwide Technology Raceway. Multiple drivers have an opportunity to get their first win of the season, and in today's episode, we're going to be talking about our top fantasy picks, as well as some of the top news stories to come out of this week. All that plus more on today's episode of the Fantasy Filler Podcast. And today we got multiple guests on here, people we've been waiting to come on here for a long time, but due to their schedules and kind of just conflict all around, they haven't been able to come on, but now we got them back on. They seem like regulars, well, before this last month, but now they're back, and we're going to first bring up Johnny on the track. Johnny, welcome back to the podcast, and thank you for coming on today.
It's good to be back. It's good to grace the presence of such. Hey, this is a great show. This is a great show. But every now and then, you need a guy like myself. You need a guy like NASCAR Opinion. You don't need a guy like Motor Minister, who, thank goodness, he's not on tonight. But you know, in all seriousness, it's good to be back. I think from a fantasy pick perspective, I feel like I've got a pretty good idea of what we're going to see at Gateway. Runs like New Hampshire. And as you know, Tyler, I'm the king of New Hampshire. So I think, I think we're going to have a good show. I think we're going to give people some good picks.
What is your problem with Armani? Like, this is a rivalry that's been going on this entire
First off, even if you don't know Armani, you should have a personal problem with Armani because he is an idiot.
But he comes on to the show for more than you guys, so I can't get...
Hey. Well, hold on here. Let me defend myself, all right? I happen to usually be at a racetrack on Friday nights, all right? Working a job in racing. This is NASCAR Opinion, by the way, a.k.a. my real life name, William Richard. And hey, I'm honored to be on a Thursday evening, okay? My wife is gone all week to weekend. She's visiting her parents. The baby's with her, so I figure, you know what, I'll go ahead and be on a podcast. I have nothing to restrict me this week. And, you know, we figure we would have some fun talking about Gateway this coming week. Nothing has happened with my favorite driver this week. It's been really calm, cool, and collected. So nothing to talk about there. And but, yes, I will agree. Me and Johnny don't agree very often, but we will agree that Motor Minister Armani DePaul is, in fact, a moron.
There it is. Armani is today, why he couldn't make it on today's show.
So me and Armani are really good friends. We talk two or three times a day on the phone. Apparently, he has bought tickets ahead of a movie weeks in advance. I don't even know that that's a thing, so that's probably a lie. But weeks in advance to watch the new Spider-Man movie or whatever. Oh, Armani is on the phone here.
Oh my God.
DePaul, you were live on the podcast. Would you like to explain why you were not on the podcast tonight? And I'm being serious when this is being recorded, so please, do not say anything like you normally would say, which would be stupid.
I went to go see Spider-Verse.
Is the movie over?
Yeah.
Are you going to jump on Discord?
I can.
Uh-oh, Armani may be a late entrant to the podcast.
All right, we're going to have that.
Hey, how about, so you don't earn the right now to talk on the podcast, so I'm going to hang up the phone, and if you join us, you can earn your mark on this fantastic podcast that just got started. That work for you?
You would do killer in PA.
All right, well, I'm hanging up the phone now, and if you want to be on the show, you join us and be a man, as TikTok would say, be a man. And they're hung
you
up on.
You told him not to say something stupid, and the only thing you'd say was, "Hey, you'd be good."
Let me take 30 seconds to get my thought out.
So if you guys hear a random Discord ding, that will be Armani joining. So it's actually going to be great. Now, hey,
oh,
here he is,
right there.
Welcome.
Let's go. Oh.
Anyways, while we wait for him to actually connect. So there's actually been a lot to talk about here this week. And definitely the biggest thing was going on during the Coca-Cola 600 that led to the biggest news. And that is regarding the 2020 champion of Chase Elliott, driver of the number 9 machine. As you guys are aware, if you guys were watching the Coca-Cola 600 on Monday, there was a huge incident involving him and Denny Hamlin, where Chase Elliott got squeezed up against the wall and in retaliation drove left into the quarter panel of Denny Hamlin, where Denny Hamlin went head on into the outside wall. NASCAR reviewed the replays. They also looked back at the statistics of the steering and all that, and they concluded that he did that intentionally. Now, there really wasn't too much debate on whether he or not he did that intentionally, but NASCAR has decided to come up with a decision that they are going to suspend Chase Elliott for one race, and they just announced that he will still have another waiver, so it doesn't mean he's out of the playoffs yet, but this is huge news. He's already was gone for 6 weeks. Now he's going to be gone for another week due to a pretty blatant move, a move that is very frowned upon here in NASCAR. Will, we'll ask you first, since you are a Chase Elliott fan. How do you feel about the situation? Was it the right call?
Let me tell you, brother. First off, Denny Hamlin deserved it, all right? All right, first off, he shouldn't have been poking the bear. He knew what he was doing. He ran him to the outside wall. Chase had to take out the trash. In fact, Chase Elliott should be the 2023 champion for taking out the trash. But anyways, for real. If you think that Chase Elliott, for A, did not do that on purpose, and B, should not be suspended, you are a moron. All right, folks, I want to lay this picture out for you. My son's name is Elliott for a reason. There are some family ties we can mix in, but my reasoning is because of Chase Elliott. Yeah, I'm that kind of a redneck. I got a little bit of redneck in me. Calm down. All right. So my son is named after this guy. I'm a fan of this driver, but I'm also not stupid. All right. Drivers make boneheaded decisions all the time. Chase Elliott got put into the outside wall in 4 by Denny Hamlin in a 3-wide situation, and he decided, hey, I'm just going to go ahead and finish the whole gig here, and he also decided to ruin his day. He did it on purpose, deserves to be suspended. You could check my tweets. People always want to think that all of Chase Elliott's fans are crazy, which, trust me, I have learned Chase Elliott fans this week have been more than annoying. He did it on purpose. He deserves to be suspended. NASCAR made the right call. Thank God they made the right call. I was going to be upset if they did not suspend my favorite driver. I was going to be upset because you have the whole situation with Bubba Wallace that happened last year. And I like Bubba Wallace too. I critique Bubba Wallace. People think I don't like him, but he's probably my top 3 or 4 favorite driver. I like to see Bubba succeed. Did the same thing to Kyle Larson last year. He deserved to be suspended then. You know, Chase Elliott deserves to be suspended now. Thankfully, NASCAR was consistent. Hopefully, they stay consistent. I'm sure eventually you'll get into the playoff waiver, you know, conversation. That's different. He deserves a waiver. Really, the waiver shouldn't even be a problem, but that's a conversation for another day. But yes, overall, to put a bow on this, Chase Elliott did it on purpose 100% and should 100% be suspended. Thankfully, NASCAR got it right.
Yeah, they absolutely got it right. I mean, if you're going to suspend Bubba Wallace for something that was similar, that happened, what was it, about 6 months ago at this point? No, maybe it was more 8 months ago. Either way, it's been less than a year. Almost the same exact look. And we can even go back multiple years beforehand, back to when Kyle Busch took out Ron Hornaday. Now, granted, that was under caution, so that was really bad. But we can compare those as well. If you're not going to suspend Chase Elliott, but you're going to suspend those guys, especially now that we're in a situation where people already think that NASCAR plays favoritism towards Hendrick Motorsports, then this would have been a bad image all around. Like, there would have been no positivity to come out of this. Johnny, Armani, I'm guessing you both are in agreement there that the suspension was the right call, or do you guys have something different to say?
No, I mean, like, I think you guys covered it. I mean, I think coming from Will, it's probably that's what the people on this podcast want to hear. A diehard Chase Elliott fan, basically speak the truth. It's unfortunate because, again, I feel like people think I don't like Chase Elliott, especially Will. But I just hate his fans. I think his fans are like Cowboys fans. His fans are the absolute worst.
Oh, wait a minute.
You can't be Cowboys fans.
Fan.
That's a double shot.
That was said with a little purpose.
That's a shot at Will and also a shot at Tyler, who I know is a Cowboys fan. No, I mean, look, it's the right call. It was a stupid mistake by Chase Elliott, but I'm going to call it a mistake. I think, I think it's a heat of the moment thing, and that stuff happens. And Chase Elliott is a champion, so I mean, you know, you can't say like, oh, he's just a stupid, immature kid. No, he's not. I mean, the guy has won races at this level, lots of them. He's won a championship. So it's stuff, you know, like, it happens in the heat of the moment. He's obviously missed a lot. Why are you guys making a facial expression? I think a lot of this, too, is just the frustration with being out for whatever, like, 6-7 races and, you know, being way down in the points. And really, he has to win his way in, and I think that has to do a little bit with this. That makes you a little more frustrated when things aren't going well. So look, like I said, I mean, I think it was the right call. I think I'm in total agreement with what everybody said so far. But I do think, and maybe I don't know if we want to open this can of worms because there's a lot on the agenda, but you know, Chase Elliott's going to have to win to get in the playoffs. And at this point, I don't know if he's going to do it, to be honest with you. I want to see him in the playoffs. He needs to be in the playoffs for NASCAR to succeed, honestly, in terms of ratings, in terms of parity, and all that good stuff. But honestly, man, I mean, you look at road courses, they've been the Reddick show recently, and honestly, the Larson show, a lot of 1 mile flat tracks coming up, not really Chase Elliott's wheelhouse. So, you know, some super speedways, maybe he can find a way to get it done there. But Chase Elliott is going to have a lot of work to do if he wants to get into the playoffs.
Basically, he's just going to have to win to get in at this point. And you're right. Road courses is not Chase Elliott anymore. We've had multiple people now just come up to the occasion. You've had Larson dominate Sonoma and Watkins Glen. Now you got Tyler Reddick now becoming one of the most dominant drivers when it comes to road courses. The Chicago Street Course, who knows who's going to win that race? Hell, it could be Joey Logano who wins that because he wins every surprise track there is. But then again, he hasn't been doing that great. But upcoming news because of this situation, it's already been announced on who the replacement driver is going to be for that number 9 car is going to be Corey LaJoie, the current full-time driver for the number 7 Aspire Motorsports. And I don't think there's been a time at all in Corey LaJoie's career where he has been in top-tier equipment in NASCAR's top 3 divisions. So this could be absolutely huge for Corey LaJoie, and this could be really, really bad for Chase Elliott. I'm not saying it's going to be something where he's going to lose his ride or something, but it's just going to look bad if Corey LaJoie runs really good in this race, because it just proves that, hey, not only did you miss a race, but you missed a race that your team was already set and ready to go at, and you've kind of missed your opportunity to potentially run near the front and collect a victory. But Armani, your thoughts on Corey LaJoie in the 9 car? This could be the biggest opportunity of Corey LaJoie's career. Do you think it's going to be a great weekend for him? Do you think he's going to struggle? What's your thoughts on that? Because me personally, I love to see that Corey LaJoie's getting this opportunity.
You know, I talked about on my podcast that I'm personally not the biggest fan of Corey LaJoie. I just don't like the way he goes about things in terms of, like, him constantly complaining about how if he was in better equipment, he would do better. To me, that doesn't show like the mentality of being a lead driver at a team, but he's finally going to get that opportunity. He's going to be arguably one of, if not the fastest car in the field. He's been performing really well this year. That Spire 7 car is top 20 in points. So I think given how Corey has ran this year, and now that he is going to be in that 9 car, the 9 car hasn't ever had a lot of speed. Even when Chase has been racing, they've been lagging behind the 5 and the 24. I'd expect the top 10. I believe a top 10 should be the expectation for Corey LaJoie, given how well he's been doing this year in lesser equipment, and given also it's a Hendrick Motorsports car.
Yeah, I've heard him say that quite a few times, if he was in better equipment. And he's going to prove it. He's going to prove it here this weekend if he can do that or not. And he has been doing good with the number seven car as it is. If you want to do comparisons at all, look what he's been able to do, and look what Ty Dillon has not been able to do. Like, Corey LaJoie's been on average running around in the top 20, while Ty Dillon's just trying to get into the top 30. So I see the improvement there. I see the advantage there, but I mean, this is completely different. This is a brand new chapter. So pretty excited about that. And also, now that we're still on the topic of replacement drivers, the person who's going to be in the number seven car is going to be a driver who's running full-time in the Truck Series. He just made his debut in the Xfinity Series. Had some pretty good finishes in the Xfinity Series. We'll give him that. But I think people are thinking this is way too soon. But Carson Hocifar
will
coming on in into the number seven machine. And Will has definitely been very outspoken about this. Why don't you like it? Will, why? I mean, he did good in the Xfinity Series with Spire Motorsports. Why shouldn't he get the Cup Series opportunity?
Hocifar is a guy that I think is going to be around for a good while. I think he's marketed himself to people who already know who his name is. But this is the same guy that a month ago people were saying should be suspended in the Truck Series. I mean, the dude has tried to right hook drivers 3 to 4 times. He's had one win. In that win, I didn't watch this live, but I saw the replay. In that win, he literally wrecked first and second to win the race. It's one of those things where you can't be super upset at the situation because, unfortunately, with Xfinity Series being halfway across the country, Josh Berry would have been the replacement. The problem is Josh Berry's not available. He's in Portland, Oregon this coming weekend. And just the travel back and forth is not going to make sense for Berry. So they pretty much had to pick a Truck Series driver. And I remember the other day looking at the Truck Series drivers, and there's no good prospects. There's none. Hocifar, unfortunately, besides maybe Grant Enfanger, I would have put Enfanger in the truck, in the car, but Enfanger probably has no connection with Hendrick Motorsports or Spire Motorsports and all that kind of stuff. So at that point, Hocifar probably is your best prospect, which in a further narrative for Chevrolet is very scary. But anyways, I'm not a big fan of it. I don't think he deserves to be in the car. But at the end of the day, what are you going to do? You got to put somebody in the car. You got to be able to run Hocifar. It's just, it's ironic. This is the same guy that has had problems hooking people, and he is only in this car because of another driver hooking another driver. And that's all I've got to say about it. He'll probably end up doing fine. He'll probably have a decent run. Hocifar is a talented race car driver. He's just an idiot. And now he gets to make his first Cup start, and it's just funny because, hopefully he doesn't hook anybody on Sunday.
I hate to use the word idiot, but I can understand. How about immature? Is that a better answer?
We'll go immature. We'll go immature because everybody's made bad decisions. I mean, clearly Chase Elliott, former champion, was, quote-unquote, an idiot on Sunday. I mean, he made a terrible decision, and it cost him. Everyone's had their moment. So we'll go immature for Carson Hocifar.
Let's just hope. I think the goal for him is if he can finish in the top 20, that's a win. Top 25, that's a good showing. Top 30, oh, thank God you were at least able to step into the car. Anything worse than that, then they're going to be like, oh, yeah.
Top 10, he goes full-time Cup in 2024, baby.
Top 10, he goes full-time. I can see that happening, honestly. They would say, Ty Dillon, bye-bye. Carson Hocifar, come on up. You're ready for the 77 car. Yeah. But I really don't see that one happening unless there's this major fuel strategies. And it's a shorter race, so I honestly don't see that.
I think I'd jump off a bridge if Carson Hocifar gets a top 10 before Ryan Preece does this year.
Ryan Preece hasn't gotten a top 10?
No.
Preece only won 3 drivers this year yet to score top 10.
Preece, Ty Dillon, I don't know. Gregson.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, it's been such a horrible year for Noah Gregson.
Sensitive subject, boys. Let's leave it alone.
Yeah. Let's leave it alone. Let's just hope he can actually get something going for him during the summer stretch. I mean, it won't get going. But yeah, no, I'm trying to be positive about it. And this next story and last one, I mean, there's no positivity about this in any shape or form. And that's regarding Chase Briscoe in the number 14 machine. So. He already had himself a really bad race. I mean, it struggled early. Somehow, some way, was able to get into the top 20. Don't know how he was able to do that. They take the car to research and development. Turns out there was a counterfeit NACA duck, or NACA, I don't know how they pronounce that, to the engine panel. and that qualifies as a level 3 penalty. And if you guys do not know what level 3 penalties are, he was fined $250,000, and the crew chief was suspended for 6 championship point-paying events. Not only that, the team and driver has been assessed with a loss of 120 points towards the regular season, and if they make it into the playoffs, they've already lost 25 NASCAR playoff points. Basically, their season's done unless they get a win, and even then, they could be the first round out because they'll still be negative 20 points compared to everybody else. This is hands down the biggest penalty we have seen so far for one car. I'm not going to say a whole team because I still think there's some winners for that one, but this is huge, and what a crazy, crazy mistake for them to make. Bye, Armani. It was nice having you. Oh, he's back. Cool.
Now he's back.
Armani, you got to get your stuff together, man. You're really throwing the show off. He's not even talking. Anyways, so take your show. Most devastating thing to ever happen, Johnny, to a team? And if so...
Before Johnny comments, because Johnny's going to have a great take on this, I'm sure. 120 points is how many points Ty Dillon has had for the entire season. Chase Briscoe has been penalized what some drivers have not collected all year. Go ahead, Johnny.
All right, so you guys know I like Chase Briscoe. I think he's a really, really talented race car driver. I have a bet. It was one of the first bets I placed at the beginning of the season. It was over a half win for Chase Briscoe. At this point in time, I'm a little frustrated because, quite frankly, I don't know if that's going to come to fruition. But I am very high on Chase Briscoe. I think there's a reason he is considered Tony Stewart's guy, right, if you will. And he's a very, very talented race car driver. He can do it on a lot of different, do it in a lot of different ways, right? On dirt, he's very good. On road courses, he's proven to be pretty elite. And then on mile and a half, so when you give him a good car, which we saw basically in the playoffs last year, he can perform well. But for one reason or another, Chase Briscoe and that team have not been clicking. I don't know the reason because I was high on Johnny Klausmeier, his crew chief this year. I thought what I saw at the end of last year, this team was going to be an elite team this year. They have not been. I think, right. The tough thing for Briscoe is he was like right outside the points to point his way into the playoffs, which is crazy because it seems like every other race he's running like 35th. But you know, a string of a couple top fives, they put himself in positions at this point. As much as I want that bet to hit, I think Chase Briscoe is not going to make the playoffs. I am, however, even with saying that, I'm high on him this week. I think he's going to run very, very well this week. Stuart Haas is I think they're going to run well. Stuart Haas at this point in the season is a one-trick pony, and it's on short flat tracks. If you look at the numbers, that's where they've been good. So, and we can get into this a little bit later, but long story short, what I'm saying is I am very high on Briscoe, so I think this is just a major setback, or I should say a minor setback for a major comeback, I hope at least.
I just don't see it. I really don't. How do you come back from that? And honestly, what track does he have over against his teammates? Because, yes, he's had some good races here and there, but he's always had one Stuart Haas racing car in front of him. And I just don't see it. I really don't. I understand that you want him to have himself a really, really good season and hopefully make something out of this. It's just you have...
Here's the thing about Chase Briscoe. Briscoe is good enough to fall into a win. We've got a lot of road course racing coming up. We know the kind of carnage that can come from some of these road course races. I mean, heck, 2 years ago, he almost won the Indy road course in a situation where all of a sudden he finds himself up front late in the race, and here he is. He's going to have to win. They've been abysmal. I'm like John. I believe in Chase Briscoe. I think Briscoe's a solid driver. I think Stuart Haas, I don't know what is going on there. They probably at this point they need to start thinking about downsizing, because without Kevin Harvick, they're a joke. I mean, without Kevin Harvick, they're running with the ranks of, I don't want to say they're as bad as Rick Ware, but hell, the Rick Ware cars have outran them some weeks. I mean, it's been that bad. But Briscoe is good enough to put himself in a position potentially to, you never know, fall into a victory. You know, road course racing, put yourself up front. So that's the one saving grace you have for him. I don't think he's going to run well this week. So if Johnny calls that, then Johnny calls that. But road courses is, to me, where they're going to have to really try to make their money.
Hopefully. And you know what? They could be in the same spot as Chase Elliott. You know, we're talking about Chase Elliott having to really rely on potentially road courses. Well, same thing's going to be with Chase Briscoe, but we've already talked about which drivers have already been doing good at those races. So I don't know. And saying that they're almost comparable to Rick Ware Racing, that's like to the jugular right there, man.
That's been, but crazy. It's been the truth. There's been times where Rick Ware Racing cars have passed Stuart Haas cars on the racetrack.
That is true. It's just been unbelievable. Finishes,
now Stuart Haas tends to still finish the race better, but still, I mean, it has been abysmal.
Two teams that have just been super abysmal this year that I didn't see it coming was Stuart Haas Racing and Legacy Motor Club. We could talk about the downfall of Legacy Motor Club as it is right now, but who knows, maybe them moving to Toyota could be a beneficial thing for them. But that's in 2024. They still got to survive 2023. So those were the biggest bit of news here this week. I really wanted to cover those because they're definitely big. Actually, you know what? I have one last thing I want to cover on because this is important. I'm going to save it for Armani. Now, Armani, I may have skipped you in the last thing, but you did cut
more like
cut
the last two things.
Out multiple times. You did come in and come out multiple times, so you lost your turn, and I think that's the right thing to do. Are you guys in agreement?
Agreed.
Agreed. Yep. But you get to lead this story segment because they also just made the announcement. I almost forgot about this, and this is probably going to make many people very upset. But NASCAR just announced the championship weekend for 2024, and you guessed it, they're returning to Phoenix Raceway. Again, we'll be racing in the desert at the 1 mile racetrack. Now, for the fan experience, I get it. It's a really cool racetrack for the fans. There's a lot of stuff for them to do, a lot of amenities. But the racing product is just not there compared to other tracks. This Gen 7 car is set up for a mile and a half track. Now I understand why people say maybe bring back Homestead just because of how well the car's been running. Or end it at Nashville or Charlotte. But they keep wanting to end it at Phoenix. Armani, help us out here. Help us make sense of this. Why Phoenix another year?
Here's what makes no sense. I remember a quote from some NASCAR executive saying that the 2024 schedule is going to be the most shaken up schedule yet, even more so than the 2021. So why are we going back to Phoenix? That's what makes absolutely zero sense to me. That's number one. Number two, unless they're postponing for 2025 when the new TV contract comes, which I could see a complete shuffle change. And I'm not just talking about where we race. I'm talking about how long the races are actually going to be. I could see a chance like that in 2025 as well. I think the ideal track, personally, is Nashville to host the finale. I don't think it's going to happen at Charlotte. I think it'd be great if it was Charlotte. I just don't see it happening.
You guys know that Nashville's like the same thing as Phoenix.
Now, Nashville's a good track. It's posted good racing for the past 2 years. And on top of that, it's in a market that NASCAR for the past 5 years, essentially, ever since they posted the banquet there, has been really trying to conquer. So I think having your season finale in the South at a booming city like Nashville's booming sports market like Nashville, and at a track that for the most part has put on pretty good racing for the past 2 years, I'd say it's a win-win.
I don't think Nashville's in the South, buddy.
Nashville, Tennessee.
I don't know, man. That's not that really that South, in my opinion. Anyway,
where I go, they consider Tennessee the South. What are you going to consider Tennessee? The Midwest? I lived in the Midwest. I would not put Tennessee in the Midwest.
The Mideast?
Yeah, but
the Mideast isn't a thing.
Tennessee is the South, but it ain't the South. You know what I mean? Geographically,
it's like the South, but it ain't the South.
I will say this, as I'm pouring more Captain Morgan rum in my pineapple juice.
My man.
I've never understood the idea of having the finale at Phoenix. It never should have been at Phoenix, period. Because, I don't know if people know this or not, but the TV ratings come out about every week, and the top five regions are the South and the Midwest literally almost every single week. I don't know if I've ever seen a Western city one time in the top five markets. I think they melted in. I think they didn't have everything lined up the way they wanted to, and Phoenix is luckily going to get another championship race. I'm a big advocate of Charlotte getting it, but I do know that I think somebody said that NASCAR doesn't technically own Charlotte, so that's one reason. It's a dumb reason. It's a political reason in the sport why Charlotte should not get the finale. But why shouldn't Charlotte get the finale? The racing has been great on the oval. It's at home. You're not going to get a bigger fan base. You're literally rooted in Charlotte. That is where your headquarters is. Bring the finale to Charlotte. That's going to be sold out, just like the 600 was sold out before it got rained out. And it just makes sense. Everybody's at home. Everybody, all the pit crew members, the mechanics, everyone can show up. The friends, their family, mom and them, they can all show up for the championship finale on what, for right now, I know sometimes you don't want to jump on the bandwagon, but for right now, it's one of the best racetracks on the circuit, on the oval, with the next-gen car. So just bring it to Charlotte. But I don't know what I'm only smoking about Nashville. I think Nashville's got to prove itself a little bit longer before you can put the finale there. But Phoenix, dang sure is not the answer. It is proving itself. Listen, I'll come on this podcast and say I was wrong. I was ready for Homestead to move on. I was ready for us to do something else. I was wrong. Just like predicting Kyle Larson was going to go winless a few years ago. I was wrong
a lot of times.
Homestead would be a miracle right now. Would be magical right now compared to Phoenix.
Oh, you're telling me that the best mile and a half on the schedule would be
Kansas or Charlotte? Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. I think Homestead's number one.
I don't know. You still got to run the wall pretty much the entire way around, or you can't pass anybody.
That's true. The race wasn't as exciting as we thought it was going to be.
Yeah, Mr. Miami.
He just wants to support Florida so bad. He wants to show everyone that Florida's the place to be. Right, Armani, as you scoot away from us?
Yeah.
Yep.
Scooting away to Homestead.
You know what was one racetrack? I'm sorry, we're staying on this for a long time, but I just wanted to put this in. You probably know which one racetrack I think could have been maybe the potential racetrack if it would have stayed on the schedule. I mean, they were looking for a one-mile racetrack. What about The Rock? What if Rockingham was still on the schedule? Do you think they would have ever thought about putting it there? And if they were ever to bring it back? Or am I just really smoking something right now?
The only thing with Rockingham, I've been to Rockingham one time. This is way past them having races. So we just rode by. The problem with Rockingham is it's in the middle of nowhere. And so is there the infrastructure in terms of hotels, you know, restaurants, just culture in general? I'm not super familiar with the area. I've been there one time. I don't live in North Carolina. I think you're smoking crack when you think Rockingham's going to ever host a finale or something. But coming back on the schedule, I would be very positive for. I think North Wilkesboro has proven, even in just 1 year. Now, I'm not saying Wilkesboro could come back as a staple for 5-10 years. But clearly, people were going to go there. I think people would buy tickets to Rockingham. It's a different style of racetrack. We'd have to see what the racing does. Finale, no. But coming back to the schedule, though, I think it would be pretty cool.
All right, fair enough. Yeah, maybe that's why they put it at Phoenix, because they know nothing else is ever going on out there in the desert. But by God, do they got hotels there. I've checked hotels there. They got a crap load of them over there. And it's because no one's staying over there because no one wants to be in Phoenix except NASCAR. So there you go. All right. Enough with the news stories. There's definitely some big bit of news here. But we know why everyone tunes into this episode. They want to know the best fantasy picks here for this weekend. And it's going to be kind of an interesting race because it's a racetrack that's kind of in the middle. It's a very unique shape. The only one that's kind of close to it is Darlington, and even then, Darlington is its own unique racetrack as it is. So this one will be a very interesting one to figure out which drivers are the best ones to go with and which drivers do you want to sit out. Without further ado, let's dive into it. Here are our top picks for Worldwide Technology Raceway. Alrighty, guys, you already know how fantasygames.nascar.com sets this up. You're going to have six drivers on your roster. Five of them will count to your points. Johnny, I'm trying to explain how it works, this. Though.
Johnny finally comes on after like 5 years, and this is what he does.
I know. Okay. For everyone who is brand new like Johnny, this is how it goes.
So fantasygames.nascar.com, that's where we set this up. You can only pick each driver 10 times for the first 26 races. You have a total of 6 drivers on your garage area. Now, 5 will count towards your final score, and you're going to have one in the garage area. The reason why you have that extra one is just in case one of your drivers has some problems early in the race, you want to switch them out. So that's how it works. And here, the reason why we pick 15 drivers is because of that reason that you can only use one driver every... Stop it, Will. Stop it. One driver 10 times throughout the regular season. So, let's first start off with our top picks. These are drivers that we feel like will do good in Fantasy 1, but also will be contenders for the victory. We're going to include one driver from each manufacturer plus 2 extra drivers. Johnny, since you're the only one not messing with me right now with your face cam, who do you have as one of the top picks here for this weekend that should be a contender to win the race at Worldwide Technology?
Look, that's what I do, Tyler. I come focused. I come prepared. I'm going to give you two. I'll give you two guys that I think should be top of the list here. The first, he's my number one guy this weekend. His name is Christopher Bell. If you look at this style track this year, he's been third fastest overall, only behind the two Hendrick Chevrolets of Larson and Byron. But in long runs, Christopher Bell tends to have better speed in the long run than some of those guys. So I think Gateway is going to have some longer runs. I know it did end under, in overtime last year. But I do think we're going to see a lot of green flag runs. And I like Christopher Bell to be a really fast car and, run well late in runs. So he is my number one pick. And then I'm also going to go with a guy that made a lot of noise last year at this very track, and that is Ross Chastain. He is going to be picked by myself and my good friend here, NASCAR Opinion, in the Better Fantasy League, the Johnny on the Track Fantasy League. I think Ross is due. He's coming off a terrible race. I think probably his worst race of the season. He was not good last weekend at Charlotte. In my opinion, I feel like he has a little bit of an edge here at this track, especially with he had a really good car last year at Gateway, and he kind of just tangled with the wrong dog, and Denny Hamlin had a little action with Chase Elliott here too. Look, I think Ross is going to have a fast car, and I think overall we're going to see a little bit of a redemption here for Ross. I wouldn't be surprised if he's, an easy top five.
Honestly, both these drivers need a really good showing after last week. Christopher Bell, he had himself a good run, but unfortunately got into multiple accidents, one by himself and one from someone else's incident. And Ross Chastain nowhere to be found. So this is going to be definitely a redemption race for the both of them. But yeah, Ross Chastain, if he doesn't have that situation with Denny Hamlin, I'm pretty sure he has himself a solid race running around inside the top five. And Christopher Bell's been one of the most consistent drivers here in the 2023 season. So two good top picks there for sure. Armani, I see you're showing a bunch of memes on your camera. So that means you have probably an intelligent pick here for the third top pick in this race. Who do you have and why?
First of all, Will, your days are numbered.
Okay.
Yeah, threats going on this podcast. The podcast also not condone threatening people. It's a heads up. Anyways, picks. God, wait till I get alcohol. Anyway, so a top pick for Gateway. I mean, I think Christopher Bell is a good pick as well. I think the Fords are going to be really fast. You know, really, besides Charlotte, I still need to see a lot more from the Fords. Really, it's only been the flat tracks where they've shown some semblance of speed besides the Super Speedway. So, I'm going to go with an interesting pick here. Well, maybe not as a top pick. I'm going to go... It's weird to call him an interesting pick considering he's a defending winner, but he's been so inconsistent this year that you don't even think about him winning another race this year. I'm going to go with Joey Logano. I think he needs a bounce-back race. I think that he needs a kind of race, just to right the ship. He's currently outside the top 10 in points by a pretty good margin as well. He's 14th in the standings behind both Roush cars and a JTG Doherty car. So he needs to right the ship, and I think Gateway is a great place to do it. I'm picking him in Johnny's League, which means he's probably going to wreck out and then finish 35th.
Dude, why are you doing this, man? You're making no sense at all. All right, here's a top pick. Well, it's a mid-tier pick, but I'm going to make a top pick. So he's going to do good in this race until he wrecks out because I picked him. So you did not sell Joey Logano at all. And Joey, that first off, that's already an interesting pick as it is because I honestly don't know how he's going to do in this race. It's been a very, very odd season for him. He's been very hit and miss. I'm hoping that he's able to right the ship here at Worldwide Technology. But I'm leaning towards more his teammate Ryan Blaney being a better top pick just for the simple fact that he has more consistency right now. He's been running more near the front. He had himself a really good run here last year as he was able to finish fourth, lead 12 laps, average running position around seventh. And he's right now representing the Fords. The team Penske's been struggling with the 2 and 22. The 12, as they've also been struggling, but not nearly as much. So I'm leaning a little bit towards more him, so that I'm going to use him as my top pick. We'll still keep Joey Logano as a top pick, but I also don't think you should shy away from his teammate, the number 12 of Ryan Blaney. All right, Will, I saved you for the end because you've been way out of control. The alcohol's definitely kicking in for you. So
We're having fun. Ryan Blaney was on my list. You know, he had a top five there last year, riding the momentum of winning the Coke 600, the biggest win of his career thus far. But the guy I had written down, now this is kind of a shot in the dark. Obviously, we've only ran at Gateway one time, so it's really hard to gauge. There's no trends, but I'm going to go with Kyle Busch. Finished second in this race last year. He's also riding a little bit of a streak right now. He's had back-to-back top 10 finishes, a seventh at Darlington, a sixth at Charlotte. And Busch is a guy that you can never count out each and every week. Now, they've got to have some things go their way. You know, this is a team that, you know, people still are hard to read them. They're sort of like Gateway. You don't have a big track record. You've only got 14 starts with him in RCR right now. They've obviously won a couple of races. They've done some things here and there. But Busch is a guy that I think you always have to mark down. Again, he ran well last year. Runner-up finish. I think you've got to keep him in mind. And it's when you have a weekend like this where it's sort of a crapshoot because one season doesn't give you a lot to go from. In our fantasy league with Johnny, I'm picking Ross Chastain. I could argue myself against Ross Chastain just as much, but I feel like he's due for a rebound week. He's finished 22nd or worse in back-to-back races. So I think Ross is due a good run. But I'm going to go with Kyle Busch just based off last year. He's riding a little bit of a streak this year. That team is really learning how to, even if something goes bad in the race, get a good finish out of it. I mean, at one point he was backwards in the Coke 600 going the wrong way and then quite literally drove backwards for like three-quarters of the race or a half of the racetrack. I don't know what Kyle was doing. But anyways, it was entertaining. Comes back, still has a top 10 finish. So I'm going to go Kyle Busch this weekend at Gateway.
You know what? I like that pick. He was also on my radar as well. He had himself a really good run. Now, granted, it was with the Toyota camp, but we've seen the improvement here in the Chevrolet with Richard Childress Racing, and he was running really good in that Charlotte race. Unfortunately, he ran into problems similar to Christopher Bell, so he's kind of looking for a redemption race as well. I think one thing that's crazy that I need to touch on here real quick, did you guys realize that we don't have one Henrik Carr as a top pick here for this weekend? Do we think that Henrik is not going to show up this weekend, or?
Well, Larson's probably going to win the race. He'll find a way to win the race. Chase Elliott's not there. Mm-hmm. I'm sure we'll talk about Corey LaJoie at some point. Someone is going to pick Corey LaJoie. May or may not be me. May or may not be somebody else. I have no clue. LaJoie is going to be a conversation piece. Byron is going to be great, but I feel like Byron, we're waiting. At some point, Byron is going to have his downward trend that he has every year. We're waiting on it to happen. Now, this may be the first year that it doesn't happen, but we're waiting on it. And then Alex Bowman is the fourth wheel Alex Bowman has always been. So, obviously, he's been back from injury. Glad he's back in the race car. But I don't think any of us expect Bowman to really be a shining star, so I think that's why.
Yes, that's fair. I mean, if we're going to trust Byron, let's say he does carry on all the way through and not have any problems. We want to trust him more at the intermediate tracks. Now, Worldwide Technology technically is an intermediate track, but I'm talking about the mile and a half, the ones with a lot more banking in the corners. Those are the tracks he's been doing the best at. And Larson's been near the front for the most part. But at the same time, we don't know if this is going to be one of his top races. I mean, we're going to use him 10 times. This probably may be like his 13th best race. And we don't really want to waste a pick on him in that one. So I get that. I get that. I just found that very fascinating and I needed to bring it up. So those are our top picks here for this weekend. We have the number 20 of Christopher Bell, the number 1 of Ross Chastain, the number 22 of Joey Logano, the number 12 of Ryan Blaney, and the number 8 of Kyle Busch. Now we move on to the mid-tier picks. These are drivers that we feel like are going to be running around in the top 10. Although they're probably not going to be running for the victory, they still will be valuable options to go with your fantasy league, as they will fill up probably your third, fourth, and fifth spot on your fantasy roster. We already talked about a few drivers who just missed the cut, and right now there's some people on my mind. You know what? I'm going to go first. This is my podcast. I do what I want. So for me, I think one person is going to be right there in that mix that is going to be a decent pick to go with. How about the number 19 of Martin Truex Jr.? Martin Truex Jr. may not be the driver that we've been talking about too much as far as going for victories, but he's been right around the top 10. Whatever him and his crew chief have figured out here in these last few weeks, it's starting to work. I mean, Cole Cole 600, he was not one of the top tier cars, but he was there the entire time. He won at Richmond. In a way, this track is kind of similar to it, as more of like flat banking, so we can give him that. And I here last year, he was able to finish 6th, lead 42 laps, average running position 9th. I feel like Martin Truex Jr. is not going to do that bad here in this race, and I think he's a pretty good, valuable mid-tier pick here for this weekend. Let's see here. Let's mix things up here. Armani, who do you have as a mid-tier pick here for Worldwide Technology Raceway?
I feel like I'm using this guy as a mid-tier pick almost every race, and it's starting to get really repetitive, but talked about it earlier where I feel like the Fords, this is the kind of track where they're really going to start to shine. So I'm going to pick another Ford driver, and like I mentioned, I feel like I pick this guy as a mid-tier pick every week, but it feels like at some point, Brad Keselowski is going to just have a race that just clicks. What do you want me to say? RFK has been really strong this year. Keselowski's top 10 in points. He's had a Kyle Busch, Kyle Larson. He's been a lot more consistent than those drivers. So I'm going to keep going with Keselowski. I'm just hoping for the day where I can actually take him out of the mid-tier pick and put him in the actual top-tier pick, because I do think that's coming.
Fair enough. Will, it sounded like you had strong opinions. You guys couldn't hear it, but I could see it. What are your strong opinions about Brad Keselowski?
Well, for one, I just want to applaud Armani for finally making sense.
Oh, okay. That's what
I like that pick. I like the pick. I think Keselowski and RFK in general has really started to turn it up. We are curious because I think they kind of were disappointing last year, even though they had some moments. Obviously, Buescher went to victory lane. But we've kind of been waiting on Brad to get back to that place, because Brad Keselowski is a top 75 driver of all time. He's a former champion. He knows how to get it done. So I like the Keselowski pick. That was my backup. I have someone different in mind. I don't know if you want me to share that just yet.
Go right ahead.
So since he's my backup, this guy makes me very nervous. But he is a very streaky driver, so I'm going to try to believe in him to keep the streak alive. And that is Bubba Wallace. 3 consecutive top 5 finishes, 4 consecutive if you count the All-Star race. Now, what makes me nervous about Bubba is Bubba is that kind of guy where that streak can be broken instantly. But he is a streaky momentum driver. When Bubba's feeling good and he's running good, Bubba tends to continue to run good. Now, they didn't run very well here last year. I believe 26th was where he finished last year in this race. It was not very impressive. But right now, 2311 has their stuff rolling. This is the strongest 2311 has ever been right now in 2023. So, Bubba had a very good Coca-Cola 600 in terms of his finishing. You kind of question what could have happened if they didn't have 14 different pit road issues. I mean, Bubba Wallace legitimately could have been in the running to win that race. If they don't have, I think they had 3 or 4 different pit issues throughout the day. I mean, it was just terrible. 2311 from last year, where Bubba would be running well, they'd lose 6 spots on pit road, and you don't know what that case was. But Bubba Wallace is my pick. It makes me nervous, but that's why I'm putting him as a mid-tier pick. You know, again, Counting the All-Star race, four consecutive top five finishes. That team is riding that momentum. It makes me nervous because eventually that's probably going to break. But, hey, let's roll the dice. A confident driver, a confident team. Bubba Wallace may do something to impress the crowd at Gateway this Sunday.
A gambling pick here for the mid-tier. But you know what? I like it. They're showing a lot of good consistency right now. And I'll take consistency in the current season more than I'll take a pass finish, honestly. And 2311, they got it right now. They've really been showing how well they can run in these races. I mean, look at the Coca-Cola 600. They both finished inside the top five. No one's really talking about that. They should, because that's a very impressive performance on their end. And at some points, that I almost want to say they're almost surpassing Trackhouse Racing in a few races. Definitely last week. But they've been doing really well, and I'm very impressed to see how much improvement that team has been has that team had in the last couple of years. All right, Johnny, we got two Toyotas, we got one Ford. Are you about to pick a Chevrolet here in the mid tier?
Will, give me a drum roll, please, ladies and gentlemen. We have a Chevy. First of all, let me just say, Armani, love the Brad Keselowski pick. I'll tell you the win where that's going to come. It's going to come at New Hampshire. It's going to come at New Hampshire. I promise you. Brad Keselowski is winning New Hampshire. Anywho, let's move on. All right. So my Chevy pick, mid-tier guy, a guy that Will said is the absolute fourth at Hendrick Motorsports. I sometimes tend to agree, but I think Alex Bowman here is going to have a really, really good run. I think a lot of people forgot that Alex Bowman started the year 6 out of 7 in top 10s and has only finished one race this whole season outside the top 15. That is kind of, it's kind of crazy. I feel like a lot of people are forgetting that, because obviously he got hurt right bad and missed how many? 3 races. But the guy finished 3rd at Vegas, 9th at Phoenix, 8th at Richmond. These are, I guess Phoenix and Richmond, right, are tracks that operate sort of like Gateway. Last year he finished 13th at Gateway, but again, had some good finishes at other, shorter, flatter tracks. So Bowman to me, I think if you look at his teammates, they've been the best at this style track. So I would expect you throw Alex Bowman's name in there. I think he's going to have a top 5 car, and I think he's good enough to put that top 5 car into the top 10. I think he's a mid pick that you guys should go for.
Yeah, I'll take it. I mean, Bowman is Bowman. He's always going to be Alex Bowman. He always will be Alex Bowman. He always has been Alex Bowman. So, we'll see.
He'll be Alex Bowman.
Yeah, he will be Alex. Alex Bowman will be Alex Bowman, folks. I can 100% confirm that. He has consistency at the beginning of the year, but remember, he's fallen and he can't get up. His back has been struggling lately. I'm glad he's back in the car. Glad he is back ready to roll. I'm not the highest Alex Bowman guy, but you can't deny it. He's cup worthy. He's proven himself in that 48 car. We shall see. I'm not sure. He said his back was a little sore after the 600, but if he wasn't ready to go, he wouldn't have came back. So, I could see it. The car's good enough. The driver's good enough. We'll see if he can get it done.
Comment you made. He's fallen. He can't get up. I swear to God, if we see Life Alert as a supplementary sponsorship for that number 48 machine, I'm going to laugh so hard. Kind of like how Josh Williams got that parking company to sponsor him. That was stellar.
That was beautiful.
All right. One more spot here for the mid-tier. And you know what? I'll take it again. Why not? I'll do what I want. Man, there's some good options here. But how about a driver we haven't really been talking about? He really did impress a lot of people. He is a rookie. I'm talking about the number 54, Ty Gibbs. Ty Gibbs could be another one of those drivers who could be running around there inside the top 10 that not many people are really thinking about. And I know probably at the beginning of the year we weren't really using him that much, because I get scared using rookies. But he's been one of the more consistent rookies that we have seen in the NASCAR Cup Series in quite a long time. Some people may throw, Austin Cindric in that mix, but he won the Daytona 500 and then maybe got some top 10s here and there and just out of luck. Chase Elliott, he did decent in his rookie season. But for the most part, Ty Gibbs has been probably the most consistent out of all of them, running really well. And if he does not get caught up in that issue later in that race, he's going to finish inside the top seven. I really, really see a good race from him in that number 54 car. And if we think the Toyotas are going to do good, then by all means, he's going to be right there in that mix. Now, the past stats that we have here at Worldwide Technology are ARCA races, so we really can't rely on those too much. I mean, he won both of them, and he led 32 laps and won in 109 laps. Well, good. I think he won every single event that he raced in ARCA. But still, shows that he can run well at this racetrack. He's showing that he's heading in the right direction. I don't know. Pretty good mid-tier pick will be that number 54 machine. So those are our mid-tier picks here. We got some good options for you. Again, the Henrik count is very low, and we went with Alex Bowman as the mid-tier pick. So, hey, I think we are in agreement that Henrik Motorsports may not be the team to beat here this weekend. It's going to be interesting to see in practice and qualifying if that is the case. But as of right now, here is your mid-tier picks. We got the number 19 of Martin Truex Jr., the number 6 of Brad Keselowski, the number 23 of Bubba Wallace, the 48 of Alex Bowman, and the number 54 of Ty Gibbs. Now it's time for one of my favorite segments here, five drivers to take a gamble on. This is the driver you're going to have in the garage area. Maybe you'll even have two on your fantasy roster for your fifth and garage pick. These ones will be drivers that we don't usually use that much throughout the season, but they could be valuable here in this race. Now, there's a lot of options here to go with, a lot of uncertainty too at the same time, because if you look at the point standings right now, there's a top 15 in points, and then there's everybody else. Like, there's a big point differential between 15th and 16th. I think it's almost like, what is it? Almost two races much of a difference there. If not, maybe a race and a half. It's a big gap. So it's going to be hard to try to figure out which drivers to take a gamble on here. Are there some drivers that you guys have in mind that will be drivers to take a gamble on? Whoever
Eric
wants to go,
Almirola.
Go right ahead.
Look. I mean, we gotta be fair. We gotta be honest. Stuart Haas Racing has been pretty trash, absolute trash, at every racetrack except this sort of racetrack. Look at Martinsville, right? For most of that race, at a short flat track, they had four of their cars running in the top 10. At one point, all four running in the top 5. My guy, Ryan Preece, was on the pole. Just wanted to throw that out there. But if you look at last year, best race of the year for Eric Almirola was at this racetrack. It was at this racetrack. He was one of only, I believe, three drivers to finish in the top 10 in each stage, finish fifth in the race. This racetrack suits Almirola's driving style well. I think he'll qualify well. I think he'll stick around 7th, 8th place for most of this race. And I think he'll collect you a good amount of fantasy points this week. Do I expect him to win? No. Would I like him to win? Yeah. But hey, he's not going to, but I think he'll run well. I'm looking right around 7th, 8th place to finish.
Now, do you believe that he is a good driver to go with in the similar fantasy league that you operate, where you have to pick one driver for each race?
Wow. Hey, well, look, I haven't heard of it. I haven't heard of a fantasy league like that, but that sounds pretty awesome. So whoever put that on, wow. No, I do. I mean, I really think, he was one of only three drivers. I think it was Blaney and Kyle Busch were the other two that ran top 10 in all three stages last year. So anytime Eric Almirola's name can be put in the same sentence as Kyle Busch, and at this point, Ryan Blaney, for what he is, I'll take that.
Stop.
So I think I would not be surprised if he puts together a full race from start to finish.
Listen, I'm glad Johnny said his name, so at least his name is talked about at some point this week on coverage of the race. So I'm sure they're not going to be talking about him on Sunday at www.raceway.gateway.net.org.com, whatever the racetrack is called these days. But I'm glad Johnny could at least give him some coverage, so at least someone knows that Eric Almirola is actually in the race on Sunday.
He is, by God.
Very thoughtful of Johnny. Race.
Very him and Bubba Wallace going at it, him getting a little shove happy out there.
Dude, he must have been talking shit about Bacon, I swear to you. He was like, you said what about Smithfield Bacon? Bye!
I like mine thick cut. What'd you say?
Oh, man. And, of course, it was the same guy who broke up the fight for Ross Chastain and Noah Gregson. I hope that's the same guy. If not, we're going to look
and
really bad.
Is 2-0, baby.
The guy is 2-0. If that is the same guy, he is 2-0. Ladies and gentlemen, you guys know my YouTube video. He would definitely win a fight against Ross Chastain. All right. Another driver to take a gamble on. Let's see. You're both on your phones. Well, I'm going to pick you. Who do you want
me?
To take a gamble on this weekend?
You
want to
go with me? But I'm going to speak them up. All right. Oh, nobody's talked about them. This could be my worst pick ever. But I'm going with them, baby. And that
who are you
is.
Going with?
Career opportunity handed on a silver platter. I can't believe it, folks. From the top rope, Corey LaJoy about to put on a show this Sunday again. He's probably gonna crash, but anyways, so I'm gonna go with Corey LaJoy. Career opportunity. Corey LaJoy grew up short track racing. Now, Gateway is not technically a short track, but it races similar to one. A lot of braking points, a lot of on off throttle time. And he knows this is his opportunity. Now, the unfortunate part is a lot of times when drivers get this shot, something goes wrong. But I'm going to believe in it, all right? Corey LaJoy has had some good runs for Spire Motorsports this year. By far, the best equipment he has ever been in, bar none. There's no debate. The 9 car is the second or third best car at Hendrick Motorsports. Probably third best right now, how you would rank them. But Corey LaJoy has the experience. People hope he has the talent, and we know he's got the car now. I don't expect him to go out and compete for a win. That's too magical of a story. That's not happening. That's a story Hollywood couldn't write. He's not going to go out and win the race. I think a top five is a bit of a stretch, but I could see the 9 car with Corey LaJoy flirting with a top 10, top 15, having a solid run if he can keep his nose clean. My only scare, like the only nervousness I have is that Corey knows this is his big shot, and he may take an opportunity or a shot or try to make a bad pass that could put him in a bad spot. Because when you're in this situation, you have the pressure of the world on you. You feel like you have to make this opportunity count or you're never going to get it again. But I'm going to go with confidence. Corey LaJoy, a dark horse driver, not necessarily win, but could pick you up some quality points, perhaps be around during the stages, and then hopefully can put together a top 10, top 15 run by the end of the day.
Let me just jump in here. I actually totally disagree with Will. Not that, hold on, wait. I don't disagree with him that, you know, to at least take a look at Corey LaJoy, but I think his reasoning is off on why he might fail. I actually totally disagree with the fact that he could be, you know, too aggressive and make like a stupid move. I think it would be the opposite. I think he might be too passive because you do not want to wreck Rick Hendrick's car if you are just given an opportunity like that. And I feel like he might not be himself, and that's more why I'm fading him. I think Corey LaJoy is more than capable to go out in good equipment and win.
Like,
I mean, I've seen him do it in the.
I feel like Corey knows this is his shot, and if Corey can go out and run top 5, top 10, that he's. This I'm not going to say it's going to obviously open up a bunch of doors. I mean, there's not a lot of seats that are available right now.
No, I hear
but
you. I hear you.
I think Corey is an aggressive driver when given the opportunity. So the last thing I'm concerned about with Corey LaJoy is him taking it too easy.
So the only thing I'll say and is, you know, I thought this similar thing with Josh Berry, and it turned out, you know, honestly, Will turned out to be right there, so hand up for me that I was wrong. But, you know, I felt like early on, it was the same thing. Like, Josh Berry was a little too passive. Now, to Will's point, this is a one and done. You get one shot, my friend. Go make it happen. But, again, I don't know. I'm not cautious for the fact that I don't think Corey LaJoy can run out and run well. It's more like, does a guy really want to wreck Rick Hendrick's car doing something stupid?
It'll be interesting to see. But you know what? If I'm willing to take a gamble on anybody, and I'm right now, I think in your league, I pick Corey LaJoy. It could be a very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, hey, you could pick Kyle Larson every week, and I don't think you'd finish top five at this point.
I'm not having much luck on that. But you know what? Maybe I'll have some luck there near the end. Who knows?
Armani's smiling. He's like just in front of you.
Yeah, I know. He's
had. Give me one second.
But I'm gonna show you.
I was gonna ask him next who he was gonna go for, and he did not play.
Where did Armani even go? Is he gonna even give us a drive or prove a point? Or okay.
Okay, he's being an alcoholic. That's what it is. For everyone super confused right now, this has been Armani's worst showing on this show.
Will called me.
For folks that are curious, this is Armani in real life, which is a terrible showing every day.
Go watch. Well, for those of you who don't know, Will literally called me like a second after I got out of the theater. He's like, jump out. And I'm like, okay.
I think they do know because it was live on the show.
Yeah. We heard you.
For those who are tuning in late.
No, it's not live.
It's not live, you moron. Why would you be tuning in late?
People might
think they just skipped to like minute 37 and said, hell, I'll just listen from here on out.
All right, can I talk? Because Johnny cut me off.
Pick a driver. You got a 50-50 shot on here.
I'm going to pick a driver. Okay, listen. This driver finished top 10 here last year. This is another team that really needs to get the ball rolling, though I don't have a lot of faith in this team, I'll be honest with you. Eric Jones finished top 10 here last year. Finished 7th, collected a decent chunk of points. This team needs some sort of momentum. Why can't this be the race? They ran top 10 last year. I could see them doing again.
Gosh, you know, I want to believe that. I really want to believe that. It's just been such an atrocious year for the team. Like, they are getting no breaks at all.
But we waited that long for that pick.
I know.
That's what we did, Armani. That's who we went with.
Anti-climate.
I mean, I could have went with AJ Allmendinger.
That'd have been a better pick.
That would have been a better pick.
Kevin Conway. I'm not going to go there.
Allmendinger's only 11 points ahead of Eric Jones in points. They're basically the same driver this year.
Okay. Well,
drink to that, boys.
Yeah, I'll drink to that.
Eric Jones has more top tens than Allmendinger.
Okay. You know, let's give you some positive feedback. He did finish 7th here last year. He did lead 4 laps. His average running position was 10th. So there was definitely speed there. We also saw him running well at the beginning of the Coca-Cola 600. You cannot deny that he was making moves. He just had one of the most unfortunate situations happen to him. Noah Gregson and Eric Jones hit the same debris, and it both busted a hole in both their radiators. The same piece of debris. I don't know how you do that, but that has been the story of Legacy Motor Club.
Legacy Motor Club is so bad that Jimmy Johnson is now officially behind Jeff Gordon in Legacy, baby. All right? Jimmy Johnson wrecked his own car on Monday. All right? He wrecked his own car. He turned ahead of Noah Gregson, the car that he owns.
Yeah.
Jimmy Johnson's so bad, he's behind Jensen Button and Jordan Taylor in points, who both only ran one race.
And Travis Pastrana.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone forgets that he actually ran a Cup Series race this year. Man, we got to stop bashing Jimmy Johnson. This is a 7-time champion. It's just been a... Ever since he won,
can we just point out that this dude Armani is cutting his fingernails on the show? What the hell?
You know, I hope that this is one of the most downloaded podcast episodes I've ever get, because that means there's some first time listeners, and this is the crap they hear, and they expect this every single week. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, this doesn't happen that much. This really doesn't happen that much.
Let me tell you something that doesn't happen too much. Me and Johnny don't tend to agree, but me and Johnny can both agree that Armani has been the trashiest of trash on this episode. Yeah. I mean, Armani has contributed nothing.
When you asked me to come on, literally, as I'm walking out of a movie theater.
No excuses, baby. No excuses.
We asked for
you brought some intelligence. intelligent takes. You made me look like an idiot with some of the takes.
Prepared said, this podcast. Guy, then Will calls me. Then he's just like, "Hey, you want
to
come on?"
You don't have
on?
To be prepared to know the question. He asked, "What was your? What are your top fantasy picks?" He said, "Well, this and guy's I gave top. You my no, top. He's mid. Actually, no, he's low. Wait a minute. No,
he's Armani's the only guy that could pick a guy to win the race and also be like, he's probably going to crash though."
what was that?
I mean, I pick Kyle Larson, don't I?
We know you pick him every week, you Mr. Bandwagon. All of a sudden, big Larson fan from 2021.
You're literally favorite driver, the most popular driver in the sport. Don't be
talking. He's the GOAT, baby, and he's the GOAT.
Yeah, but guess what? He may be the GOAT, but he ain't the lead dog at Hendrick.
Okay.
I'm just going to try to find some drivers to take a gamble on, just spare some people. I like AJ Allmendinger. We'll have him as a gamble driver just because of his top 10. You actually brought up a good point. You said I could have said AJ Allmendinger. You could have. So we're going to go with him. And we got one more spot left. Unless
How did none of us pick Tyler Reddick?
Well, the thing was,
I got another low pick for you. I got a low ball for you.
Okay, hold on to that. Hold on to that,
Johnny.
The reason why Tyler Reddick missed it was because I don't really want to throw him here in the gamble spot. I was going to pick him, but I'd rather go with Ty Gibbs. I felt like Ty Gibbs would have a better shot to finish a little higher. Yeah. And then also someone picked Bubba Wallace. I think that was Armani. And you know what?
I'm me?
That was you.
That was
Will. Oh, he picked Brad Keselowski. I apologize.
Bubba, yeah.
He's making me now lose brain cells. I don't know what's going on. But yes, someone picked Bubba Wallace. So I was like, okay, I'm probably going to exclude Tyler Reddick. We don't want to make things too similar. But that was just my idea. So that's why he missed the cut. But I would not be mad if you use him as a mid-tier pick. Anyways, Johnny, give us the low ball. Save this podcast with your brilliant last pick of the gamble category.
Yeah, so it's a guy that led a career high in laps last year at this very race. Do we remember him? Does anybody know?
Hold on. I literally just had that pulled up.
I swear to God, you're about to pick Michael McDowell.
It was Michael McDowell. Michael McDowell came here with a fast race car. I believe he led over 30 laps in this race. Kind of crazy to believe. But he brought a fire. He brought a fast hot rod, and he is a guy. He's a streaky guy. He really is. So I feel like any time that Michael McDowell has confidence, he delivers. Like, for instance, right? Road courses, we expect him to be good. Usually he goes out there and is pretty good. Tracks like this, where, you know, he's had really good, solid finishes in the past, it tends to continue. So I feel like although the finish wasn't great for McDowell, he only finished, I think, 18th here last year, even like leading 30 plus laps. I do feel like he can build on that. I think they're going to bring a very, very similar race car. And if you look at Michael McDowell this year, his best run came at Richmond, which, you know, not super similar, but, you know, a decent feel, right, of style racing. So I think Michael McDowell is a guy that maybe you take a big gamble on.
You know what? And here's the reason why I got so upset. Not because you were picking him, but because I could not think of the fifth driver. I was like, well, who do I go with? Stenhouse, Todd Gillen, Justin Haley? I even said Todd Gillen. I completely forgot about Michael McDowell. And then it finally dawned on me when you said led a career lap high or led the most laps in a race. That is not a bad option to go with.
Not at all. It's a solid pick. I like
solid,
it.
Solid, yeah. It's going to be
guys,
interesting.
That's what I'm here for.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, we really appreciate you. I compliment you and then you ruin it. But you know what? Well, at least you did give us a good final pick here in the Take a Gamble category. So, ladies and gentlemen, we got a good mix-up of drivers. And here are the five drivers to take a gamble on here this weekend. We have the number 10 of Eric Almirola, the number 9 of Corey LaJoie, the number 43 of Eric Jones, the number 16 of AJ Allmendinger, and the number 34 of Michael McDowell. One last segment before we wrap things up, guys. The featured matchups. These start to become really, really fun just because You got to try to figure out which driver you want to go with. And these are actually pretty important. So not only do you have to pick six drivers, but you also have four matchups. If you get it right, you get 10 extra points. And this is the difference between you winning and losing. So these are very important here. We got four matchups here. The first one, I will go through, run by each one of you guys on which driver you think is going to do better. And then we'll go from there. First matchup we have is last week's winner, the number 12 of Ryan Blaney, going up against Tyler Reddick in the number 45. Who do we have getting a better finish by the end of the race?
I'm going to go with Ryan Blaney. I feel like the momentum's going to carry him another week, but God, that's a great matchup. That is a fantastic matchup to watch. I'm going to go with Blaney, though, just because of the win, riding the momentum. I feel like winning that race, snapping that long winning streak, to give some confidence to the 12 team and Blaney. So I'm going to go personally with Blaney, but gosh, that's a great matchup to watch for.
Yeah, that will be a fun one for sure. So one for Blaney. Armani, who do you got?
That's really tough, especially because I'm looking at the results from the last race. I mean, Kurt Busch in that 45 car, he led 12 laps, finished third. Blaney, same race, finished fourth, led 12 laps. Trying to see where Reddick finished exactly. He finished 16th. He finished 16th. So not the greatest day for Reddick, but then again, he was in an RCR car. So I'd imagine the speed is going to be more towards Kurt Busch's result rather than Reddick's. I'm going to agree with Will. I think that the momentum that Blaney has with ending that winless streak, winning that race, the Coca-Cola 600, he's also in a Ford. I think the Fords are really going to shine at this track. So I'm going to go with Ryan Blaney.
All right, two for Ryan Blaney. Johnny, do you sweep it all for Ryan Blaney, or are you thinking it's going to be Tyler Reddick?
Will, drum roll, please. Ryan Blaney.
Three for
Ryan Blaney. And it's actually crazy to see Will give a reaction like he just did to Ryan Blaney, perhaps his least favorite driver.
We're not going to go least favorite, but definitely overrated.
No, I think I kind of agree with the crowd here. I feel like Ryan Blaney is riding a high. If you remember last year, a guy that once he won a race that had a very long winless streak, what did he do? His name is Kevin Harvick. He came out and won the very next week. So I think sometimes when you finally break out of that slump, it all clicks. And I think it's going to click. And I think not that Ryan Blaney is going to win this thing, but I think he's going to have another really good race. His confidence is at an all-time high, I would assume, right now, especially winning the Coke 600 of all races.
Yeah, you know what? We're all in agreement here, and I like that option here. So us here at the Fantasy Filler Podcast, we are going for Ryan Blaney over Tyler Reddick. Next matchup we have is going to be the number 10 of Eric Almirola versus the number 23 of Bubba Wallace.
Hold on. Time out. I'm getting my sports book app up, and I'm making a parlay for the boys.
Before you do that, here's a question. Johnny mentioned today, did anyone pick Kevin Harvick?
Nobody picked Kevin Harvick, no. Mm-mm.
No.
Wow.
I think we're all really worried about, except for Eric.
See, on my book, it has Ryan Blaney up against Ross Chastain. I don't like that one.
I go Blaney 10 times out of 9.
10 times out of 9.
We're picking Ross Chastain, though, Will. We don't want that.
Hey, see who Chase Elliott's matched up against. I bet he loses this week.
Okay, guys, we got the matchup here between Eric Almirola and Bubba Wallace. Who do we have? And
are you
why?
Just picking these out of a dang hat? Where do these?
No, hey, Eric Almirola versus Bubba Wallace.
Yes. So
that's not even legit.
No. This is for the fantasygames.nascar.com. These are the four featured matchups.
God, this is
first weird. Off, let me tell you how I know this is rigged. First of all, Eric Almirola versus Bubba Wallace. That's just happens to be a matchup this week after the shoving match.
Here comes Tyler. He needs to bring the proof.
There it is.
All right, screw it. That was
the one. Anyways,
everyone will be picking.
This is clear cut. Bubba Wallace is going to win this matchup.
I'm going Almirola.
Bubba Wallace.
I'm going Almirola.
No. It should be Bubba. But I can see Armorola putting up a fight, but it should be Bubba.
Should be Bubba is the correct answer. Armani, if Armani has said anything correct over the last hour and a half, it is that statement. Should be Bubba Wallace. I don't know why he's showing us diecast on his camera. I have no clue why anyone cares about an Austin Dillon diecast, because no one cares. But at the end of the day, it should be Bubba Wallace.
It should be Bubba Wallace just based on all the statistics that we have seen here in the 2023 season. If you're looking at one specific race, maybe Eric Amarola, but I hate to say it, Johnny. I'm leaning towards more Bubba. I just am. Maybe practice and qualifying. If I see something completely different, maybe I'll change my mind. But right now, I'm just leaning towards Bubba. So we got a split decision here. We're leaning towards more of the 23. Who was saying that?
I will say this.
Okay.
I don't think it's as easy of a match, as it's clear cut of a matchup as people might think it is originally.
People like you. Who said?
Johnny, I'm giving you a little bit of credit, all right?
Yeah, but you just said it should be. This is easy. It should be.
Yeah, it should be Bubba because he's been the better driver and the better car. But given Almirola's results at this track last year, it's not going to be clear because, oh, yeah, Bubba's definitely.
Hey.
Next matchup. I got to try to control this. We have Ty Gibbs going up against Austin Cindric.
Oh, God,
I think we're all in agreement here.
Oh, this is easy.
Austin Cindric.
We're kidding.
Okay. All right. So we're going all with Ty Gibbs. Now, Austin Cindric, he had himself a good run here. Last year, he was able to finish 11th. But I feel like Ty Gibbs has a better shot at finishing in the top 10, even better than 11th place finish.
I like Cindric, but you can put a blindfold over him this week, and he's still, I mean, Ty Gibbs would still beat him.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, okay, we're easily going with Ty Gibbs. And then the last matchup here, we have teammates. We have the number 6 of Brad Keselowski going up against the number 17 of Chris Buescher. Now, one thing that I find very interesting here, I just want to bring up this random fact. There is only 4 drivers here on the schedule that have never raced at Worldwide Technology Raceway, or at the very least, the last 5 years. Those 4 drivers are Greg Galding, JJ Yaley, then we had Ryan Preece, and believe it or not, Chris Buescher, because he missed last year due to COVID. So, with that being said, I don't know if that changed your guys' mind, but
it did.
It does.
Brad Keselowski.
I'll give you a 0.7 pick on that one for the mispronunciation. Johnny,
this one is actually, I think this is a really, really tough one, but I do think just what I saw, like Brad Keselowski was so dang good at Charlotte. Like he had a really fast car and only came away with a 19th place finish. I think he's going to bounce back and have a put it all together race. I think he's going to win this matchup, but I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if, let's say, Brad Keselowski finishes 11th, Buescher might finish 12th, or whatever it could be. Like these guys could be like 7th, 8th, that sort of thing. So I'm going to go with Brad, but this is tough.
Johnny spitting facts. Great matchup. Armani, I'm sure, is going to give us some stupid kind of information here.
I literally picked Brad Keselowski as like my mid-tier driver. I'm going to stick with the 6 car. I hate to say that you guys made good points, considering you guys very rarely make good points, but okay. I'm going to stick it with you. So I'm going to stick with Brad Keselowski.
Okay.
The fans don't know what to go with anymore because everyone's just like, well, let me tell you why this guy's an idiot. Let me tell you why this guy's an idiot. This guy's an idiot because of this.
At the end of the day, as much as we're all idiots, we're all geniuses, all right?
That's right.
All right, wait, hold on. Can I add, was that the last one? Hold on. This is a legitimate, really good one. All right, this is one on my book. Carson Hocevar versus Noah Gregson.
Oh, God. God! Hocevar is probably going to win. Hocevar's probably going to win matchup, and Gregson's one of my favorite drivers.
He's favored. He's at minus 125. Gregson at minus 1.
Fun game here we could play. Where do you think Hocevar finishes on Sunday? I'm going to go 26. That's
exactly what I was going to say. 26th, 27th, something like that.
29th. 30th.
I was waiting for Armani to say he's going to finish like 11th.
Man, all right. So what do we think? So what do I'm honestly.
I think he wins. I hate saying that because I'm a Noah Gregson fan, but Otsavar probably wins.
I'm leaning more towards Gregson. That's me, but it looks like you guys.
The 7 car is a better car right now than the 42.
He's right.
That's the worst part.
But I just hate the fact that someone who's going to make their debut is going to be someone who was a championship contender in the Xfinity Series last year.
I feel like sub drivers continue to prove themselves. I mean, Barry did well. I feel like sub drivers come in these days with these new cup cars, and they just show up and show out and just call it a day.
He's been abysmal, Noah Gregson. I think this is Josevar. I'm going to say Josevar wins this.
I'm saying Josevar confidently as a Noah Gregson fan.
Right.
Can we say that Gregson's had one of the worst rookie seasons of recent Cup history?
No, okay, no, not Kevin Conway. Come on. He won rookie what the hell year. Is that?
<He's been> up- All right. I love to keep this conversation going, but we're already way over time.
No, let's keep it going. We got plenty of time.
Those were our four featured matchups here. We got Ryan Blaney over Tyler Reddick. Bubba Wallace with a slight edge over Eric Almirola. We can see it go both ways. Ty Gibbs over Austin Cindric. And we have Brad Keselowski over Chris Buescher. And that will conclude our fantasy picks for today's episode. Gosh, I hope the recording works. I really hope the recording works because this has been one of the most random episodes we've ever had. It's been fun. It has been fun. I will give you guys that.
This is going to go down as your greatest episode of all time.
It might go down as my greatest episode. This is one of those ones where I wish I did screen recordings so people can see our cameras. Wow. Maybe one day I'll do that in the future. Maybe since YouTube is now advertising podcasts out the ass right lately. So maybe
we can talk about Pit Road.
Say what now?
Talk about Pit Road.
No. Anyways, too much alcohol for Armani. But guys, thank you so much.
He's drank half of a Mike's Hard and he's had too much alcohol.
Hey, I'm in the same room. He also had Fireball. Anyways, Donnie. Thank you so much for joining. I know it's been a while since you've been on, but where can people find you in the world of the World Wide Web?
That's a strange way to say it,
what the hell did I just say?
Twitter, at @JOTT_podcast for all my fire takes, all my bets and betting cards. Johnny on the Track on Action Network for my bets and betting card. And then, of course, YouTube, Johnny on the Track. You can find me. Wait, give me one sec. We are at 439 subs, trying to get to 500. So definitely give me that sub. That helps.
Let's go. Get to 500. Hell yeah. Will, where can we unfollow you on social media?
You can happily unfollow me at @NASCAR_opinion on Twitter because I'd hate to be one of the few Chase Elliott fans that actually can talk level-headedness. That's not even a word about my driver. But anyways, I probably shouldn't say this because I have been drinking, but anything that you support that's Cherokee Speedway, Livonia Speedway, or the Carolina Sprint Tour is supporting me. So don't worry about following my page because you're just going to get bad takes and bad opinions there. Go follow the other pages, and then you will be supportive. And I'm assuming Armani is now going to go last in this. And obviously, Mr. Armani, who never makes sense, never has any points that are relevant, period. You can follow him at...
So you can follow me on Twitter at Motor Minister. If you want to support me even more, download the HBC... Well, now it's called the HBCU Plus app. They just did a whole rebranding, so it's no longer HBCU League Pass Plus. Thank God I don't need to say all that during the broadcast now, but download the HBCU Plus app. Tune in on channel 105. You can listen to me commentate on Florida Memorial Sports. I was also just named the Assistant Sports Information Director for the school as well, so big promotion, big opportunity. And if any of my bosses are watching, I'm sorry for what you just witnessed.
Hey, and you can also find him at freezing cold takes, because nothing he ever says is right.
I think I've never been on freezing cold takes. I think you've been on there a couple times.
No, I've been on old takes exposed. We're not going to talk about that.
All right. That's what I'm And for me, you guys know where to find me at. Just look up at Vanilla Wafers on either YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, or now Instagram. Yes, I've opened up an Instagram. I figured that since TikTok is going away for a few people, we might as well have a backup. So I'm going to try to get that going for you guys. And on TikTok, if it stays, we're very close to 10,000 followers. I don't even know what to say about that, except thank you guys so much. It's been one hell of a journey over there, just posting just random NASCAR videos, now having like multiple series going on. So I thank you guys so much. All of it's NASCAR related. And then YouTube, I think we're almost at 4,300 subscribers. So again, thank you to that as well. We should be posting a video here this weekend. So again, just look up Vanilla Wafers. Most of them have 44, except for Instagram, it's at 33, so I can keep you guys on your toes. So that will conclude today's episode, guys. I have been your host, Vanilla Wafers, and I have been able to lead you to the front of the field. So why don't we grab that checkered flag, do some burnout, and head on out. So you all take care. This has been the Fantasy Filler Podcast.